Having been fed with the sacrament, we are going to move to today's message, which will be graciously shared with us by Henna Kim, who is our small groups and home church coordinator. And I'm going to begin off with the reading of the text. It's from Ezekiel 17, reading from the NIV, beginning at verse 22. This is what the Sovereign Lord says: I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender spring from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. I will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O God of resurrection, breathe your Holy Spirit upon us now, so as your word is preached, may our minds open to greater understanding, and our hearts open to deeper love, and our wills strengthened for greater service for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I wonder if you like watching movies. I like watching dramatic movies. Especially, I like movies with a warm message and deep understanding of human nature. In that kind of dramatic movies, we meet a bunch of people living unsuccessful and desperate and depressed lives. However, they slowly recover through warm and thoughtful relations with one another, and they grow through a series of events and trials in a plot. And the audiences are moved to emphasize with the joy and pain and growth of the characters. Here, I have a question. Why do we find it easier to understand movies better than news or documentaries? That's because, simply, movies are fun, right? Then why is the movie so fun while news is boring? That's because while news provides dry information, movies tells us the story of sympathy. In a good movie, there is a sympathetic narrative that we can sink into. To make a well-made narrative in a movie, we need characters we can relate to, and the thematic plot that moves the characters. So, the main character creates a plot within the setting of limited space and context. Through these devices of characters and plots and settings in a narrative, we can enjoy watching movies and relating our own feelings and thoughts into the main characters' emotions and feelings and situations and move along the plot in the certain setting. How about the Bible? Do you enjoy reading the Bible as much as you enjoy watching movies? Is there a main character in the Bible like in a movie? If so, is the main character of the Bible making up a plot of a story in a certain stage of setting? From Genesis to Revelation, is there a mega narrative of the Bible? Can we read the Bible as one unified story? What do you think? As you know, the Bible consists of 66 books in total, and this book has been written by over 40 writers for 1600 years. The characters are too many to count, and there are so many different genre of literature. How about the stage of setting? Canaan, Egypt, and Assyria and Babylon, and even all the places where the church is spread by the Apostle Paul and Jesus' disciples. So you can see how vast the setting of the Bible is. In the Bible, there are also the countless characters and intricate plots. So how can we read a massive amount of 66 Bible books like a novel or a movie? We trust that the Bible is a unique book that can't be replaced by anything better in this world. However, in fact, it is not really easy to read the Bible from beginning to end. It's because it's too long and it's too complicated. And we often get stuck in so many things that we can't understand. The testimony of many people who tried to read the whole Bible but gave up in the middle of it proves this. We know how difficult it is to read through the Bible, even just the Old Testament. However, don't worry. The Bible is actually like a well-organized panoramic movie in a mega narrative. If we could catch this narrative, then all 66 books could unfold into one big story, a well-structured and an excellent story, a mega narrative of the Bible. Today's scripture is from the book of Ezekiel. And how can we understand today's scripture, Ezekiel chapter 17, with a panoramic view of the Bible? This book is well known as one of the most difficult books to read through in the Bible because it's full of symbols and allegories and visions and parables that are too hard to understand by itself. However, if you can understand the entire Bible as one whole narrative, then you can see the book of Ezekiel as part of a huge movie with a panoramic view. Not only Ezekiel, but also every other book in the Bible contributes its role to a thematic mega narrative as one whole. If we can understand the Bible with this panoramic view, then we can understand the role of the book of Ezekiel in the big picture of the whole Bible. To begin with, let me tell you about the historical background of this book. To do so, we actually should start with Genesis, since it's all connected as one narrative. And along with the mega narrative of the Bible, we can see that the Bible contains a lot of covenants. In fact, the Bible itself is the book of God's covenant, God's testament, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. In the book of Genesis, God chose Abraham and made a personal covenant with him. God made his descendants, the Israelites, his people. God said to Abraham, "All people on earth will be blessed through you." This was the Abrahamic covenant. And in the book of Exodus, God gave his law to his people and publicly made a covenant with all Israelites through Moses. Moses took the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you. Through this covenant, the Lord will be our God and we will be his people. This was a Mosaic covenant. And in the book of Joshua, God sent his people into the promised land Canaan to live well in his presence. Although God sent many judges and prophets for them, the Israelites had forgotten God and had become increasingly corrupted. Nevertheless, in the book of Samuel, our faithful God made a covenant with David once again. God said to David, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." This was a Davidic covenant. In spite of all the covenants, in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, the Israelites continued to worship idols and did detestable things that God hated. They did not rely on God. Instead, they relied on men and powerful nations. God loved Israel, but he had to judge them to make them return to him. As a result, Israel was divided into two parts, North Israel and South Judah. As you know, North Israel was destroyed by Assyria and South Judah by Babylon. So most of the people of Judah were taken captive to Babylon, and Ezekiel was also taken captive along with all the prisoners. And then in Babylon, as a prisoner, Ezekiel began to prophesy God's continuing comfort and hope for the Israelites in exile. One of his prophecies is found in today's passage, and this is the context of the book of Ezekiel. And with this in your mind, let's take a closer look at today's story. Today's story is about a tender shoot, which means a small twig and soft branch. God proclaimed that I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar tree and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it, and it will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it, and they will find shelter in the shade of its branches. This is God's promise to his people, that he would break a tender shoot and plant it in the high mountains of Israel. In other words, although the people of Israel who were taken to Babylon were in despair, God would never abandon them and eventually move them back to Israel to recover. This was messianic oracle of restoration and blessing from God to Israel through Ezekiel. To better understand what this metaphor of a tender shoot means, we need to take a closer look at the entire chapter 17. In chapter 17, there are two eagles and one vine in a fable. The first eagle presented the strongest nation of that time, Babylon, and the second eagle represented Egypt, which was also a powerful nation. Both eagles were used as God's instrument of judgment on Israel. Of course, the vine between the two eagles represented Israel, who didn't know which way to go between the two powerful nations. After judgment became inevitable, God's will was for the Israelites to submit to Babylon as a sign of their submission to God. And through many prophets, God announced that Israel would be taken to Babylon, but after 70 years in Babylon, they would be restored of all judgment and will be back to Israel. However, the vine, which represented Israel, didn't trust God and broke the covenant with the first eagle, Babylon, and relied on the second eagle, Egypt, because they thought that Egypt was a more powerful nation than Babylon in their eyes. As a result, Israel was completely destroyed by Babylon, and the temple of Jerusalem was totally destroyed. And that's what happened in 586 BC. Nevertheless, in God's story, there is always a message of hope. We can see the evidences over and over again throughout the whole Bible. The story of hope saturates every page of Scripture and ties Scripture together. The hope God gives us is the eternal hope that never fails in any difficult and desperate situation. A tender shoot in chapter 17 is also a message of hope from God. Despite all the corruptions of Israel, God showed his love and faithfulness to Israel. In other words, Ezekiel's prophecy primarily revealed Israel's physical return to Jerusalem after 70 years of exile. But at the same time, this prophecy had a deeper meaning than this. It was a prophecy about the Messiah. To plant a tender shoot in Israel was a prophecy of the crucifixion of Christ in Jerusalem. As God made a covenant with David, the tender shoot would be chosen from David's house and planted in Jerusalem, and it would become a splendid cedar that symbolizes the Messiah, Jesus. From the roots of David's throne, the righteous branch, a tender shoot, which meant the Messiah, Jesus, would come up and bear abundant fruits and blessings for all nations. This prophecy through Ezekiel was genuinely achieved through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Furthermore, Jesus completely achieved all the other covenants that God made with Abraham and Moses and David in the Old Testament. God made a rich cedar tree from a tender shoot, and birds of every kind will nest in it to find shelter and to take refuge in its shady branches. All kinds of birds represent all the different nations, not only Israelites, but also all kinds of other nations as well. That means us, the community of faith, the church, the body of Christ. All nations would dwell securely under the protection of this great kingdom. God's covenant has been fulfilled not only through Israelites, but also through all nations, just as God promised us through Ezekiel. The church of God began weak and small, like a tender shoot. But later on, God's church became greater and abundant, including many Gentiles like you and me. Jesus also declared in the New Testament, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It grew and became a tree, and the bird of air perched in its branches. What a beautiful description of God's kingdom it is. When Christ comes back, all the covenants in the Bible will be perfectly completed. All the birds that have rested under the rich cedar tree will enjoy eternal life with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. That's what the old covenant and the new covenant are promising us. To conclude my sermon, let's go back to the introduction of this sermon. The narrative of the Bible consists of a main plot and main character and main setting, and these are secretly and mysteriously well organized and unified in the Bible as one whole narrative. God's story of hope unfolds as a narrative from Genesis to Revelation. One unified story about God's kingdom unfolds from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The main setting of the stage in the panorama was Palestine in the Old Testament, but the setting has been extended in the New Testament to the whole world where the church has been planted, including even our Westminster Church. And ultimately, the last setting of the mega narrative will be the New Jerusalem in heaven. Then who is the main character? Unfortunately, we are not the main character, but Jesus is the main character. The Old Testament shows the Christ who would come, and the New Testament shows us who already came and will come back again. Jesus alone is the key to resolve all the conflicts and difficulties of all the characters and in the setting. And you and I are not main characters, but very valuable characters as the body of Jesus Christ. Then what is the main plot that penetrates all the stories throughout the entire Bible? That is God's salvation through Jesus Christ. In other words, no matter what part of the Bible you read, all the stories and plots should be linked to the main plot, which is God's salvation through Jesus. This book of Ezekiel is not an exception. Although it's a difficult book to understand, it still contributes to the main plot of the Bible. And Ezekiel chapter 17 also contributes to the plot of the entire book of Ezekiel. That's because the Bible is not a collection of books, but one unified book. And the Bible is one book, has one true author, who is God, and is written to one great subject, one unified story, that is God's salvation through Jesus Christ. In short, the mega narrative of the Bible unfolds in four stories: creation and fall and redemption and restoration. God created people, but they denied God's kingship and fell from his kingdom. Nevertheless, our merciful God has never given up his plan of redemption through Jesus, and ultimately God will restore us into his kingdom. Like this, the Bible is all about the salvation story through Christ, and that is the unified, big story of the Bible. So please remember that all the verses and all the chapters and all the books throughout the entire Bible are boiling down to the key message, that is God's salvation through Jesus Christ. If you keep this in your mind when you read the Bible, you will find that even the book of Ezekiel is also a book that is never difficult to understand. Like this, when we read the Bible in this macroscopic way, with a panoramic view, we are able to understand God's big picture throughout the Bible and are able to look at the grand story of God's kingdom unfolded in the Old and the New Testaments. Only then we will be able to relate ourselves to God's kingdom in the Bible. With this solid identity as the people of God's kingdom, we can stand firm, and then we can have the passionate vocation to live for God's kingdom. If we can achieve this kind of wide and deep understanding of the Bible, we can fully understand Ezekiel's prophecy in chapter 17. And in addition, we can take his message as our very own message from God. It's already December, the end of the year. As we celebrate this season of Advent, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I'd like to encourage you to open your Bible and read it. Please try to spend your time with God and try to meditate on His Word and try to meet Jesus once again from the Bible. By the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit, may we all rest in the shadow of the cedar tree, who is our eternal hope, Jesus Christ. And may we all wholly taste and enjoy God's word in Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Faithful God, show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your path and guide us in your truth, for you are our Lord. Our hope is in you, our Savior. We want to read your word, the Bible, in the way that you want us to read. Let us read your word carefully and passionately so that we may understand your big picture, the one unified story of mega narrative, your story of salvation through Jesus Christ. We need your help, your spirit. We need your wisdom, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our eternal hope. Amen.